When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production.
Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 221, which I'm calling Early, Short, and Sweet. Yeah, I'm heading down to the new place in Tennessee at 0:30 tomorrow morning, so I thought I'd do this early. It'll be Sunday, so hopefully we'll beat the usual traffic. So to that end, this episode will be truncated. The last short episode saw an increase in listeners. Yeah, more on that in the podcast news section. So, are you ready for me to start this thing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm ready, so let's go. Before I start, I have one minor correction from the last episode. Towards the end of the Tech I'm Using section, I referred to the fact that I didn't have any Apple news for a change. I then said, don't worry, WWD is fast approaching. What I meant to say is that Apple's WWDC is coming soon. I forgot the C for some reason. Tech news. News concerning tech was slow this week as the industry recovers from the holiday weekend. It'll remain this way until August when the companies start gearing up for their early fall releases in time for the holiday buying season. This makes Apple's annual Worldwide Developers Conference the belle of the ball as there's nothing else to compete with it. Then again, Samsung has another Unpacked event scheduled for July 10th, but unfortunately for Sammy, that event doesn't pull in the same level of attention as the WWDC does. And speaking of which, all the Apple Bro YouTube channels, as well as a lot of the tech press, are expecting a new updated Apple TV set-top box to be announced during the annual developers event, which is to be held, well, the pre-produced digital part anyway, on Monday, June 10th, with the real developer part of it continuing on until June 14th. I hope the rumors about the new box are true, as they seem to be, as evidenced by retailers dropping the price of the current Apple TV box down to $90, and that's an all-time low price. The list price for the Apple TV 4K box is $149. I think I paid $129 for my 4K box. Besides adding additional features to this new model, the price for one is speculated to be lower than the older model. Well, because of my upcoming move, which you've heard about ad nauseum, yes. I'll be buying a new television, so I'm actually in the market for a new Apple streaming box. I'll just see if the new version brings any worthwhile improvements before deciding on getting it. If it doesn't bring any meaningful upgrades, I'll just snag the older model for that low $90 price. The only things that I do know we'll see at this year's WWDC are Tim Cook bragging about how great various Apple hardware is selling and heavy doses of AI. Which the next version of iOS is expected to be heavily infused with. Now, I don't believe Apple is going to go all in like Microsoft and Google have with AI, though. No, I think they'll be concentrating on sprucing up their long-neglected digital assistant, the forlorn Siri. The rest will just supercharge features iOS already has. In the past, Apple has referred to this as machine learning, not AI. Same difference as the cool kids say. No. Anyway, I'll be watching the keynote down in Tennessee, most likely using my iPhone, as I've heard nothing from my future internet provider.
What?
Yeah, disappointing to say the least. A headline from iMore.com reads, Apple says your new iPhone will get at least 5 years of security updates, but history suggests it'll be significantly longer, unquote. Apple has never given a minimum timeline as far as security updates go, but a recent filing by Apple under the new product security and telecommunications infrastructure law in the United Kingdom confirms this 5-year timeline. Though Google and other Android phone manufacturers pledge 7 years of security updates, if Apple's past track record is to be used as a reference, Apple device users can expect updates way longer than 5 years out. The article gives an example of Apple recently pushing out a security update to the iPhone 6S, a model that was released 9 years ago. I would assume that Apple knows just how many people are currently using each particular model of hardware they've previously sold and make their decision on whether to continue pushing security updates based on that usage. Once a product falls under a certain user threshold, security updates for that model is discontinued. This has been my personal experience also. I've had family members who've held on to their phones and Macs for a very long time, yet they've still received, at the very least, security updates, and in some cases, actual operating system upgrades. My son, who inherited my old 2017 iPad Pro, received the iPad OS 17 update, though that model is 7 years old, and since has received security updates. Most of these updates seem centered around the Safari browser, I've noticed. In my opinion, Apple is way ahead of the competition in regards to security and operating system updates. It's the one thing I can confidently use as a basis for recommending the giant fruit company's products. TechRadar.com has an article which says that Windows on ARM chip architecture is finally going to put an end to Wintel dominance and has come to the conclusion that this is a good thing. Well, except for Intel, I guess.
Yes.
The author of the article quotes the CEO of Qualcomm, one Cristiano Amon, as saying over 50% of Windows PCs will be running on ARM chips by 2030. Well, a rep from Qualcomm, a manufacturer of ARM-based chips, would predict this now, wouldn't they?
Yes.
If this does indeed happen, Intel has no one to blame but themselves. Like many companies that find themselves reaching a dominating market position, they have sat on their laurels by just making incremental upgrades to existing products in lieu of innovating, and then try to maximize profits by finding ways to lessen the cost of manufacture. The problem with this is that competition eventually catches up and quality assurance problems crop up. I'm sure Intel's old x86 architecture still has some advantage over the ARM chip architecture, but unless Intel innovates, ARM will eventually surpass them, thus negating those advantages. Apple, who have previously abandoned Intel and the x86 architecture, and not because the company wanted to design and manufacture its own chips, you know, it'd still be more cost-efficient to let Intel do this for them. No, Apple grew tired of Intel delaying manufacture and release of its new chips, which forced Apple to delay planned product releases, which were designed around them. If Qualcomm CEO's prediction is true, at least benchmarks can now match or even exceed Apple Silicon benchmarks. But here's the thing. Though benchmark numbers bedazzle gearheads and some consumers, they're not indicative of real-life performance, especially when Apple has the advantage of not only designing the hardware and software around their own chips, but also the integration of the software into the system. Basic software like Page's word processor, for example, that I've grown fond of over the years. And unlike the author of this article, I don't think the predicted implosion of Intel-based Windows PCs is a good thing. While competition is a good thing, if Intel fails, well, that will mean less competition. I'm rooting for Intel to make a comeback for competition's sake. Or maybe I'm just the kind of guy who roots for the underdog and have a spot of nostalgia for Intel. If Intel fails to release any new chips that can compete with those who use the ARM architecture, they'll be relegated to being the chip of choice for low-end PCs and eventually fade away. Does anyone remember CPUs based on Texas Instrument or Motorola Power PC chips?
What?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. While the tech world and health-conscious consumers are awaiting the release of Samsung's Galaxy Smart Ring, well, at least I think they are.
Yes.
No.
I don't know.
A new contender is rumored to be entering the Smart Ring fray, and that would be the big G itself, Google. TechRadar.com has an article where they quote Gadgets and Wearables, a website which follows patents filed by tech companies, that Google has recently filed for a patent on a smart ring design under its Fitbit brand, which they purchased back in 2021. The illustrations that were filed for the patent shows, well, a ring. I mean, there's only so much you can do with a ring design. But unlike other smart ring designs, this Fitbit ring features a, quote, elastic element that pulls the two halves of the ring together, unquote. Another illustration shows a screen displaying oxygen monitoring percentages alongside the ring. In my opinion, the elastic element would be used so Google wouldn't have to bother with sending out a sizing kit before shipping a Fitbit ring to customers. The ring itself would just adjust to the customer's ring size, sort of a one-size-fits-all approach, and I think this is ingenious. Well, as long as that elastic element is made sturdy enough. Not only can this design bypass the need for a sizing kit, but it could self-adjust to the user. If weight loss does occur and the user's finger becomes thinner, the ring could shrink to its new size, and the same would be true if the user's finger became thicker. The ring would just expand to fit it. Now, when will we see this smart ring? Who knows? This is just a patent design, and not all designs actually become a product. If Google does release a smart ring, this will be a good thing for that now niche category of products. As I've said previously, competition is great, and the more choices one has, the better. I can just imagine what the folks over at Aura, who currently dominate the smart ring market, are saying upon learning about this patent on top of Samsung entering the market. I bet it goes something like this.
Oh, no.
If or when Apple enters the smart ring market, Aura will perhaps be on borrowed time. Well, at least Aura, being the pioneers of the smart ring market, have some valuable intellectual property they can fall back on. For the time being, I'll be sticking with my Aura smart ring until Apple offers a better product. If Apple can make a smart ring that can emulate the core functions of their watch, well, I'd be all over it. I'd like to get back to wearing one of my mechanical timepieces for a change. In the last episode, I told of receiving an email from Spotify which informed me that the company's car thing would stop working this upcoming December. Well, I received another email from Spotify this very week, letting me know that the price for a premium subscription for the service is increasing an additional dollar per month.
What the hell?
This latest increase puts the price of a premium subscription to Spotify in league with many video streaming services like Paramount Plus and YouTube Premium. I guess there's nothing like kicking a consumer while they're down, which seems to be the motto of these streaming services, it seems. The current economy, at least for the middle class and below, is currently in the toilet.
Come on, man.
Yet these companies keep jacking their prices up. This subscription model for everything is akin to death by a thousand cuts in regards to finances. And I predict that many will start taking a harder, maybe even a harder look at what they subscribe to versus what they actually need. Unless Spotify starts offering some kind of video entertainment, I may once again get rid of my premium subscription. Yeah, they recently added audiobooks, which drew me back in, but that's not enough to justify my premium subscription. This increase comes on top of my cellular phone service provider increasing its price recently. I wish these companies would just give us consumers a break and let us catch our breath. Sheesh. Tech I'm using. As I've alluded to previously, I still haven't gotten an appointment from my new internet provider for installation in my newly purchased home.
What?
This despite signing up for the service on May 23rd. I'm still heading down to the new place so we can buy new furniture and stuff for it, but it would have been nice to have some internet service to go along with that. Previously, I've attempted to use my cellular provider, T-Mobile, for a hotspot, but while T-Mobile functions well in the area, it doesn't function well enough to be the basis of a good hotspot. Here's hoping that I get an installation appointment while I'm down there. While packing things up, though, I've been throwing out a bunch of old tech with my old Sony Betamax circa the 1980s being the first victim. The other day, I got rid of two Blackberries, two Windows phones, and a few Nokia Symbian-based phones, which included one of my favorite Nokia touchscreen phones, the late great Nokia N8. Hey, that all rhymes. I rocked that phone for over 2 years, even with the ascent of Windows Phone. I held on to that N8 even after Nokia stopped really supporting it. I used to fire it up once in a while for old time's sake. It was hard letting it go, but all things come to an end, so they tell me. I also threw out my beloved Palm Centro, which really kicked off messaging in lieu of making phone calls for me. I did hang on to my old HTC Mate Nexus One, though. I really didn't care for the first model of the now-dead-but-not-forgotten Google Nexus series of phones, but I figured it was good for historical purposes. Many Apple iPods owned by different family members were also thrown away, except for my last iPod Classic. I have two Microsoft Zooms, hey, remember them?
No.
That I've yet to decide on what their fate will be. I actually liked the Zoom better than the iPod. I thought its user interface was more intuitive than the iPod, and I loved its brown color. While the Nokia E63 started my podcast listening addiction, the Zoom was where I finally started enjoying podcasts. It was through a podcast where I learned, or rather was warned, of its demise. You know, Microsoft actually had a dedicated Zoom podcast called Zoom Insider, where a male and female host told of all the great things a Zoom could do and what to expect next. It was one of the first highly produced podcasts, well, at least that I had heard, until that point. One week everything was rolling along fine, but next week's episode started off by the male host informing the audience that the podcast was abruptly ending with that episode. Shortly thereafter, Microsoft announced the discontinuation of the Zoom line of products. Sorting through all those old devices stirs memories in my old fart mind. And I'm sure more examples of old tech will be turning up in the coming days and weeks. Well, I know for sure there's an old AST all-in-one model computer hiding in my attic, patiently awaiting its fate. That was the first PC I purchased upon my return from my last overseas assignment to Korea. The first and last AMD chip PC I have ever owned. And the first PC that I experienced smooth video playback on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Entertainment news. I haven't been paying much attention to the entertainment world lately. From what I can gather, the big story is the new Disney Plus Star Wars-based series, The Acolyte. The first two episodes debuted this week and turned out as expected, which is badly written, badly acted, and sacrificing a compelling story in order to deliver a message. I punched out of the whole Disney thing after season two of The Mandalorian because I saw the direction that show and Disney as a whole were going. What these geeks and gamers fail to realize is, Disney and other studios are no longer making games, movies, or shows for core audiences. They're making these things for an audience they hope will come, or arrive sometime in the future. And that audience can be summed up with... I think the logic here is that with enough brainwashing of the youth through the education system and the like, eventually this is how the younger generations will think and become the audience this type of entertainment is produced for. So far it isn't working, but hey, who knows? Perhaps they're right. The out with the old, in with the new method seems to be at play here. Well, in my experience, the youth tend to rebel against the norm, and this won't bode well for these entertainment companies. That is, unless there's no choice because the whole system has changed, which I feel is the final goal of this exercise. Comrade... Podcast news. Well, nothing of note occurred in the world of podcasting this week. Not even a peep from the entity which I consider being Podcasting Incorporated, which I define as shows and podcast networks backed by corporate interests. As far as this, the OF&T podcast is concerned, by now you have noticed that this episode, besides being short, is also earlier than usual. And that, of course, is because of my trip down to Tennessee on Sunday. On this trip, I'm bringing my MacBook Air Motu M2 audio interface, DBX channel strip, and Rode Procaster microphone. I'll be attempting to record an episode while I'm down there, provided I have internet service. If I do somehow manage to obtain said internet service, expect a different sounding show. If I don't have any internet service, you'll know by the lack of an episode, now won't you? In the last episode, I mentioned how episode 219 exceeded, and by a lot, the amount of listeners I usually get nowadays from places I've never received listeners from before, and I wondered if it was all a fluke. Well, judging from episode 220 numbers, it was a fluke, as audience numbers normalized. The cause of that increase of listeners remains unknown. I speculate that this show was recommended on some app or something, which spurred more listeners to give the show a try. I guess most, if not all, of the new listeners decided that the OFNT podcast wasn't their cup of tea, so to speak. Anyway, until I'm fully settled at the new place, which I'm estimating will be in autumn, as I've said before, episodes will be touch and go. For those who have been listening to this sorry excuse of a podcast, or at least downloading it, know that I appreciate you. It's good to know that I have someone out there who can stand to hear my babbling week in and week out. My family members can barely tolerate it. The music is playing and my jaw is aching. Well, no, not really. And this episode of the OFNT podcast is coming to its inevitable end. It's a hard one to record. At this time of day, there's a lot more noise than when I usually record. So I apologize for all the mistakes and probably noise you're going to hear. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com. And that's if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Yeah, I'm early this week, but that doesn't excuse you from getting off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.